Grace and peace to you in the name of the one who calls. Amen. Thanks to all who participated in that. I appreciate your willingness. And thanks, Noheya and Sammy. So we hear voices all the time. These voices tell us who we are or who the world thinks we are or who we think we should be. Some of the loudest voices are those of shame and those of judgment sometimes. And sometimes they tell us that we or our neighbor measure high or low on a measuring stick of particular value. The most fun, most interesting life, the richest, most successful life, even the most humble, the most other-centered life. Sometimes, often, the voices come from inside of us, and sometimes they come from outside of us. Sometimes, perhaps often, we can confuse them with the voice of God. And perhaps this is when voices become most dangerous. They become conflated with what is holy. We hear voices all the time. How do we know or discern, distinguish, which is the voice of God? Last week, I read from Frederick Buechner's work about vocational discernment. He sensitively acknowledges that discerning God's direction from our own can be difficult. There are different kinds of voices calling you to all different kinds of work, he wrote. And the problem is to find out which is the voice of God rather than of society, say, or the superego or self-interest. Buechner's own guidance on the matter is this. By and large, a good rule for finding out is this. The kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you most need to do, and B, that the world most needs to have done. And this paragraph ends with his clear statement that I mentioned last week. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. It seems to me, then, that discernment is not an exercise in individual truth-finding, finding my truth or your truth. Rather, it engages with the world and the needs of our neighbor. At one point during graduate school, when I was deeply enmeshed in questions of what I should be doing with my life, or more accurately, with how exactly to get to where I felt called, a friend gave me a poem of Mary Oliver's titled The Journey, which goes like this. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundation, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voice behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing that you could do, determined to save the only life that you could save. The poem is a powerful witness of a life that must put all other voices aside to step into the journey to which that life is called. And I think at the time my friend gave it to me, I perhaps did need more confidence in trusting my own voice. But at the same time, I think I do remember feeling like the poem wasn't quite whole. At least I felt something was missing. I knew, and I still know, that I can't always trust myself. And perhaps it is only in walking through the experience of that poem that I came out on the other side, sensing both a solitary element of our individual calls and the necessary part of walking the journey with and for others. The clinical psychologist and theology professor John Neefsy, in his book A Sacred Voice is Calling, writes extensively about the still small voice that is often under siege in our media deluge lives in the United States. And at the same time, he sets this still small voice in a necessary conversation with society or social conscience. In recent years, he writes, I have found myself increasingly preoccupied with the moral, social, and political dimensions of vocation. I am especially interested in the role of social conscience, in callings to compassionate service and responsible global citizenship. This includes the stirrings of ethical passion that incline some people of conscience to engage in principled opposition and resistance to various forms of social injustice and inhumanity, of which there is no shortage in our world. In this sense, vocation can be understood as the call of conscience or as a call to conscience. End quote. It seems vocation is not an exercise in individual truth-finding or individual value-making. Holy vocation engages with the world and the needs of our neighbor. In today's prophetic reading from Jeremiah, it seems that the waywardness of the people and the religious leaders of the day comes from their increasing self-reliance. They stopped asking, "Where is the Lord?" They stopped asking, "In what bigger story do our lives belong? Of what bigger story are our lives a part? Where does that still, small, sometimes nearly indiscernible voice that beckons or summons also call me, call you, to look with humility and hospitality at my neighbor and a world in need?" Amen. You're welcome to stand for our hymn of the day.